because you were home.
Stranger danger.
Roger, Ranger.
Is he the rabbit?
Sure. He was married to Jessica.
I like that movie, but I feel like his wife was too tall for him.
All right. What are we doing? Why did you make me watch this movie?
We're doing this because the first chapter of an all-new Strangers trilogy is out this week. Directed by Rennie Harlan from Die Hard 2, Cutthroat Island, and a little movie called A Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Which one was 4?
One after 3.
Before 5.
The Dream Master.
Oh, I like that one.
That's some of the best math I've ever seen you do, by the way.
I don't like...
Didn't even use your fingers.
I know. I was counting on my toes. I've got a new system to be less embarrassing to me.
He also directed Cliffhanger, which is an underrated movie.
I don't remember it. Doesn't end on a cliffhanger, though. I don't think so. Does it?
I believe it's the only movie to begin on a cliffhanger when the opening title was happening.
Of course. I should have known that.
Oh, boy.
All right. So I had to watch this movie for that. How's the movie received?
It's surprisingly well.
Interesting.
It was a simpler time in 2008. Is that what it was?
I think so. I don't know why I know that.
I don't think I wrote that down.
It's 2008. I know that. I was going to say 2008, The Strangers.
I'd never seen The Strangers before.
I have never seen it either. I didn't know a single thing about it.
The only things I knew about it were that opening scene that we played, because you were home. I knew that.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew the basic plot. And I knew that it was going to be a slow burn movie.
Okay.
And I saw the trailer for the new movie coming out, The Strangers Chapter 1. And it seemed to me to be an almost shot-for-shot remake of The Strangers. Which is weird. Because it's the same basic premise. That a couple goes out there. There's people. They knock on the door. They say, is someone home? And then they come and, oh, they're in the house already. And it's like, this is what I thought The Strangers was. And then I saw The Strangers, like, it is what The Strangers is.
Is there anything else in the franchise, or is
yes.
it? Yes. Okay.
There was a sequel made many years later called The Strangers Pray at Night, which, 2018, so like 10 years later.
P-R-A-Y or P-R-E-Y?
P-R-E-Y, Pete.
Interesting.
So, it was came out 2018, and it was not as big a hit, and it was not as big critical acclaim. Not acclaim, but it wasn't as well reviewed. And I've never seen that either, except I've seen one scene in the movie, and the scene is fucking incredible. So it always made me wonder, how bad is the rest of the movie if this one scene is this great?
And it gets such bad reviews.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the craft in the one scene I've seen, which is a murder that takes place in a pool, and...
Was the pool haunted?
Yeah, it was called Day Swim. It was the prequel.
Okay, cool. I'm
with Day Swim. Evening Swim. When the kill's happening, the camera will go in and out of the water, and the sound will get muffled. Because there's a song playing on the radio. The song will get muffled when it's underwater. It'll come back up. And it was so artistic and crafted and beautiful. And I was like, this is really good. How bad can this movie be? I never bothered to check it out.
You didn't even bother to check out the first one until now.
That's why I didn't watch the second one.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Now I watched the first one. I don't think it would have hindered any enjoyment or not enjoyment of the second one. Because there's no plot here.
I couldn't for the life of me figure out why I was watching. I think I've said to you multiple times that I don't like the home invasion kind of, like, it's not my thing. So this anytime.
Is basically the one that started the brief craze we had of home invasion movies.
Well, boy, my instincts were right. Like, gosh.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't know. It's just not my movie. Fair enough. It's really not. It's just not my kind of movie. But I don't like it.
Here's my first question about this movie, though. The budget was $9 million. How?
Well, Scott Speedman drew a lot of money. He had that Felicity fame going for him back then. Who, by the way, I thought he was Jake Gyllenhaal for a while.
Well, it's funny, because Scott Speedman, famously on this podcast, you once referred to as Scott Stapp.
Oh, yeah, that's the same guy.
Yes.
Wait, isn't it? Now I'm confused. You've baffled me once again, Brian.
Speaking of confusing, and this is, I don't know how to even broach the subject. Why is this movie about a turned-down proposal?
I forgot that happened.
When I see the trailer for Chapter 1, that's the one thing that's definitely different. This is a very happy couple that's getting attacked in the new one. So it's not the awkwardness that for 15 minutes made me beg masked people to come up and start killing people. Because it was an interminable amount of time spent with people who I don't want to sit here with because I feel awkward. They did a good job with it.
100%. I'm sitting there watching that drive home, right? That's how it opened, them just driving. And I thought that Jake Gyllenhaal and this girl were, like, upset with each other. I'm like, all right, this is weird. You could sense the awkwardness in it. And then who did I think? I thought he looked like somebody else after Gyllenhaal. It was clearly not. Oh, I thought it was Captain America for a hot second there before I realized it was that guy, Scott Staff. Scott Stapman. That sounds like the guy from STP, Stone Temple Pilots.
Scott Weiland?
No, Scott Stapland. Aren't you paying attention?
I got some bad news about Scott Weiland if you want.
Oh, no. I've walked right into that one. Ouch. Yeah. You don't have to tell me. I remember.
Scott Speedman is alive, but his character is not.
No. Right? It's just, I know those movies. They end badly. I don't like that.
I just don't understand why the choice was made to make it as awkward
at the very beginning.
It doesn't make sense. Now, I do appreciate not just having the standard, oh yeah, happy couple's lives are disrupted, because that's just every story. But what the fuck kind of specificity are we putting on this?
Because what else have you got, I guess? Because then they get to the very end and they're like, oh, I love you. They're back. He's wearing the wedding ring again as he's stabbed to death.
It's
like,
I get it.
What else are we doing with that movie?
It was such an odd choice.
But what else are you doing with that movie?
Well, I do want to get to this. So it didn't get all positive reviews. And the negative reviews kind of always centered around how the lack of a point in the movie. There's no message in the movie. There's no point in the movie. I think that's the highlight of the movie. I think they're reading the movie wrong. I think that the only thing that makes it work at all is that there's no reason for this happening, which is why that opening clip is the one you play. It's why it's the famous moment from the movie.
It's also one of the only things they say in that movie.
Yes.
Other than awkward conversations, and then they start boning again, and then it's awkward again. It was a weird movie.
It was. And the only thing that I think makes it work on any level is that it's just random happenstance. There's no point to any of this. There's no reason to this. It's just murder and violence for the sake of murder and violence, which has a place in storytelling.
Of course.
Me. And I just don't understand why the thing they were disrupting was a couple on the brink.
Again, it's fun because they were home and it just happened to be, I love the choice that was made. It's
sure. Great. But even when you get back to your point about how, well, the payoff to the storyline is at the end, she's wearing the ring and she shows it to him, right?
That's not my point. Let's be clear. It's just something I noticed.
Even if you bring that up, what is she really saying? That, like, the alternative of death, I would have taken you. Because this is the situation where I decided that I would marry you. Is that you're now the commitment is 15 seconds long.
Yep.
So even attempting that doesn't really work when you think about it for 2 seconds.
Well, wait, and it also said it was based on a real story. Is that real, or is that just one of those things that they say?
It is technically based on real events. It doesn't say real story. It's based on the writer director where he was growing up. There was a lot of break-ins that he remembered when he was growing up, and it was based on that and just the panic of the 70s when he was growing up with the Night Stalker and things like that. So it's not based on a specific thing, but it is taking from childhood trauma.
Right.
And being like, oh, I'm going to make a movie about that.
Right. I'm sure there's an example I can think of, but I can't think of it now. So the answer is I can't.
Well, there you go. Just the idea that this movie, the characters are, the moments you're supposed to spend with them where you're supposed to grow to care about them, so it bothers you, is spent instead going, I wish I was in any room but this one. And it's just, that's why it's such a weird choice to me.
And they play with it too, where you don't know what happened, why this is a rift. Like, is at one point I thought that Jake Gyllenhaal was the bad guy and he was in on it when he was calling.
I considered that might be why they were doing it, but the timing wouldn't work out.
Eventually it got there, but it was, I guess it gives you that because it's such an awkward thing. Like, maybe they got they're breaking up because she was a super bad guy, perhaps, who knows. It gave me enough wonder because I always think that somebody's in on it with the people, but I already knew that it was not that way because they say because you were home. So what I already knew about the movie was kind of messing with my perception.
I guess I understand why this became a kind of a hit, because the home invasion things hadn't really happened that much in movies, so it wasn't worn out yet, and you can see how much things come from this, and I get all of that. Just never going to get past the fact that this movie's about people who turned down a woman who turned down a proposal being stuck in the cabin with her boyfriend for another night. It is a weird plot for any movie. That's a weird plot for a rom-com.
You know what? I genuinely dislike this movie, but you're talking me into it.
That's the things I liked about it were how weird the choices kind of were. Like, let's just talk about the best scene in this movie by far.
Wait, let me think. The part where Dennis from It's Always Sunny shows up.
It's easily the best part of this movie because it's legitimately batshit insane in the best ways possible. All you know about him is that he's coming to help his friend in like the most caring way possible.
Yep.
He leaves that voice message for him. He's like, hey, he's like, I came up early. I didn't want you to be alone. I want to get you help you get through this. And I'm like, this is what a nice caring person. And then he's walking through the house and you see the masked person behind him. And there's this brilliant shot where he thinks he hears something and he never quite turns around. And you're like, oh, he's going to get him. And then he walks to the door for him and says, hey, and he gets his head blown off by the main character. So
quickly.
It's perfect. Cause you would never see that shit coming.
And I thought the acting was pretty good there too. Yeah. The terror, the grief, the slow understanding of what you've done.
It was brilliant.
And then he just laid there for the whole movie and they kept like crawling over him every so often. Like, oh, don't trip over Dennis. You know, that is the second time I've seen Glenn Howerton in a movie. And that's the second time I've seen him die in a movie.
The other one was Serenity?
It was. Yeah. Those are the two.
Yeah.
It's a bad track record.
He just has brief roles where he immediately gets shot. By the hero of the movie.
There's a regular Sean Bean out there.
That's right.
Version 2.0.
That scene is so great because one of the things that makes it work so well just in the structure of the movie is that we only have these two characters to follow. And that means that you can't kill them until the end. So you know that this guy's in real trouble. But you also assume, oh, here's where I'm going to get some exposition and some dialogue and some, you know, another character involved. So there's like some action going on. Nope, doesn't happen at all. It defied every expectation you could possibly have when that car shows up.
That is true. You're 100% right. That's what you're waiting for. And you
know who he is. You know who Glenn Howerton is, even in 2008. I think that the show started by then.
It's Always Sunny.
I'm positive it started by then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So you know who he is. So he's is as well known as anybody else in this cast. And he's walking in, and you're like, okay, this is going to flip the dynamics of the thing, because now there's three of them, just like it's like this is going to be the way this movie's going to change some way. Nope, nothing changes. In fact, it's like it's completely insane that he's in this movie, but that's why it's such perfect casting too. He's famous enough that you know that, like, oh, okay, this is going to be a big part of the story. Nope.
No. And that, yeah, you don't, because you also expect him to die. He's the third person.
He's 100% going
to
die.
Yeah, but you always think that it's going to be a while because you have to keep the story moving, you got to fill time, and someone's got to start talking.
And they put so much thought into how he dies that the guy walking behind him, who could kill him at any time, it's really good suspense, and that's not how he dies. It's just brilliant. It defies everything that you could possibly have thought was going to happen.
It sure does.
He gets one word out before he's dead.
That's another point in its favor. Man, I'm starting to think I like this movie.
Well, the other thing I really liked about it, and they don't show their faces, but I liked when all the people unmasked. Because
oh, yeah, I liked that they didn't show the faces.
But I liked it, too, because it's the ultimate, like, and you can see Liv Tyler does a really good job at this moment. Oh, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care. They wouldn't have shown us our faces.
If they know what that means. You're not going to live.
I thought she was really good in this movie, which I've never been a big Liv Tyler fan.
No, me neither.
I thought she was actually really good in it.
I thought the ending was fine, but here's the problem. I don't like these kinds of movies. They're sad. I don't like watching people get hurt just for getting hurt's sake. Like, I get it. People suck.
So you're not excited about the trilogy of movies coming in the next year? They filmed them all at the same time. Filmed three movies concurrently.
Back in '08, they filmed three movies?
No,
they filmed these trilogy these that's trilogy. Coming. That's too bad. That would have been something.
Yeah, they just didn't put them out.
No.
This movie could have had a sequel, like a direct sequel. She lives. Lives.
Yeah, Liv lives. Oh, that's right. That was weird. Suddenly she pops up at the end. They were Mormon kids?
I think the credits tell me.
Yeah, I did the credit check, so I know they're Mormons.
They did seem Mormonish.
Yeah, they're called Mormon Boy 1 and Mormon Boy 2.
Well, that's a giveaway.
Yeah, I'm starting to think I know what the answer is.
I wonder what their real names were. Mortimer.
Mordecai.
And Mordecai.
Mortimer and Mordecai?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what was the name of the kid in Children of the Corn?
Mordecai.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was something else.
Nope.
Well, you look very smug when you say that and confident.
But you had it right the first time.
Nope. I had it right in my head that it's something else.
Yeah, this movie's not doing that much, but it does what it does fine.
Glowing recommend. You know what,
that is a good recommendation, honestly. think of what the alternatives are. This movie's doing too much and it's not doing it well.
Yeah, because I was just about to say, I had a choice. I had to pick two movies we had to do for the podcast. Guess which one was shorter?
This one.
Yeah, it was like a half hour shorter, so 90 minutes is right in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
So, I like it. Good stuff.
That's right. There's another thing in its favor.
Good Lord.
By the time this is over, you're going to be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
But the problem is I don't like people getting killed just for getting killed. And I got to sit there and watch them go, oh, I'm scared. Oh, my feelings. Oh, I love you again for 90 minutes and then just to die.
I do like watching people just get killed in movies. It's one of my favorite things. But this one goes about it in such a strange way because it doesn't make the characters endearing to you.
Feel like, oh yeah, but that's what you're supposed to. That's weird, right? So we're on the side, because normally when you have the people that are just not endearing, they're just cannon fodder. They're for the body count.
Unlikable. They're purposely kept at arm's length from you because they're going through a trauma, and not a trauma that you specifically can identify with or feel compassion for. It's like almost a nothing event. It's like, oh, that sucks for you guys. But also, it doesn't seem like they're breaking up.
It's a very specific,
right? It's such a specific choice. Such a
tiny target audience that can identify with these two people.
You need someone who proposed to somebody. They said no, but then was also like, I just don't want to go that fast. And it's like, oh, they're just going to keep dating? What is happening?
What a weird time. Is this one of those romantic comedy horror crossovers that we've been missing?
Oh, I did have my dick out.
Well, yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, next week we're going to have the return of Ken the Foreign Correspondent when we talk about the 45th anniversary of Alien.
Thank God. It's so painful not having a guest here.
It's good to see that he made it through that horrible earthquake in Taiwan. I'm sure he's going
to
bring it up.
I haven't talked to him, so this is good news.
So we'll all get to hear about that, because if there's one thing I know about Ken, he's going to talk about that earthquake, because how could he not? It's a major
7.4, was it?
I don't know. A major significant event.
In Taiwan.
Yes. So I look forward to hearing that next week.
I'm glad he's alive.
Me too. And I'm glad he's going to give us an eyewitness account.
All right.
Next week, Alien. I had
another thought. Alien?
Yes. The other movie that you watched.
All right. I did watch that one. That was the one. How'd you know?
Oh, no. Because we didn't do the two movies we were going to do the first time around. We had to skip two.
Oh, boy. Skip to my Lou.
Yep.
My darling.
Yeah, I knew the line.
You know what that's about, right?
I think it's an orgy.
I think it's dysentery.
Oh.
You got to skip to the Lou. Flies in the buttermilk. Shoo flies. Shoo. Skip to the Lou. No, you're sick. You got that diarrhea.
I don't know what about that doesn't make it sound like group sex.
Skip to the Lou. Oh, yeah. It all works. I like it.
So, yeah, when I was watching this movie for the first time ever last night.
That's when I watched it for the first time ever.
It occurred to me, there's not going to be a lot to talk about this movie because not a lot happens.
No.
This was the beginning of the creepy mask people, which we would see just 3 years later
in
Your Next, where they're doing it differently.
Which one was Your Next? Just remind me quickly.
It was the home invasion movie with the Australian.
Oh, I like that one.
That's right.
See, so that's why when this was a home invasion movie again, I'm like, I don't like these movies generally. And I was right.
Yeah, so that movie, Your Next, is kind of a response movie to this one. It's taking the exact same setup and saying, what if we had someone who could just be a badass?
Yes, that's right. And it's the fighting back, which we talked about somewhere at some point.
Yes, Liv Tyler is very much we haven't talked about it yet. Liv Tyler is very much a Laurie Strode, and in Your Next, the girl is very much an Ellen Ripley. It's funny when you think about the slasher movies, that evolution, how fast that happened in slashers. It happened much faster in home invasion movies, because in slashers, Sally Hardesty never fights back. In Texas Chainsaw Massacre, she just runs.
Yeah, that's
Liv Tyler 100%. Just tries to run. And in Halloween, there is fighting back, but it's only when there's no way out of doing it. And then you don't get to the characters who initiate contact until later. It takes years, actually. And then you get the home invasion, and in 2008, you've got the run, and in 2011, you've got the kill them all.
Fight back. Well, we had the fight back characters, though, so we knew it. It was just a matter of time before someone put the spin on the genre. Were there any other movies that were home invasion-esque? up until that point?
Before, I'm not sure, but this was probably right around the Purge, right?
Yeah, probably.
So this is in the first Purge. People seem to not remember the first Purge very well because it became a big universe of a big scope thing. The first one's just a home invasion movie.
100%.
That's a very small movie. And people, I feel like people don't remember that.
I didn't hate the first Purge
because
I hadn't seen Ethan Hawke in a while at that point. So it was good to see him back.
It's very much the same movie as this, except they have a defense against it. But it is creepy mass people at your door coming to kill you.
I feel like it was happier, though, because aside from Ethan Hawke, didn't the family survive?
Well, aside from Scott Speedman, I guess, and Dennis, and Dennis.
Liv Tyler. Oh, poor Dennis.
Half this main cast survived.
No, that's one third. Look at me. I just did math.
My note also says Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's a
good note. See, I didn't even have to take a note. I knew that.
It takes halfway through the movie for the mass group to break their way in for good. It is a long, slow burn, even in a short movie. But they're creepy enough.
Sorry, I did write down Dennis on my notes. I had to make sure, because I said I didn't, but I just looked. So,
oh, there you go.
I apologize.
Did you hear anything I said?
No, I was looking at my notes. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said, Nicolas Cage has passed away. You don't know what to do, because that's my update. It's not true. I don't know. This comes out in May. Oh. It comes out in May. I can't prove it's not true.
Oh, no. Okay. I think I'm going to have to give you a knick-knack fact of some kind.
All right, go ahead.
To make up for your horrible news. What do I got one for you. You might like this one.
Oh, I bet I don't.
Oh, I bet you do. This is a good one. I'm going to tell you what Nicolas Cage's favorite horror movies are.
Can I guess?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
No.
Because that was in the Nick Cage movie where he plays Nick Cage.
No. Although, did you know that Nick Cage also said that the hardest role he ever had to do was playing Nick Cage?
What an asshole. Like, I don't know what else to say. What an asshole.
Well, because you got to understand, he was playing a fictionalized Nick Cage.
I understand. Fine. So how many movies does he list?
I've got three.
Three. Do you know what years they're from?
No.
Can you get close to what years they're from?
1810.
Oh, the haunted, what was it called? The Haunted Mansion?
No, it's like the early 1930s, I'm going to guess. 1930s. Yeah.
Dracula?
1920s. No.
All right. Was the other one 1920s?
No, they're all in that area. They're 1920s, all... 30s.
I don't believe you.
I bet you I'm right. All right. I'm going to tell you what they are. For some reason, interestingly, I think because Nicolas Cage, he said first off that it was hard to do because there's so many that are his favorite horror movies. It is... I think he went with actors. It is Phantom of the Opera because of Lon Chaney, Nosferatu because of Shrek, and Jekyll and Hyde because of Barrymore. And he thinks that Shrek was inspired by Barrymore's performance.
I didn't know Mike Myers was that old.
Mike Myers?
Keep looking at it. You'll get it. Who's in...
That was the slowest penny drop. The last horse finished the race.
That penny dropped so slow that Zack Snyder filmed it.
All right. That was my Nick Cage fact.
Okay. One of the things I loved about this movie, and I love in all movies, is how they deal with cell phones. Because there's elegant ways to do it, and there's inelegant ways to do it. Most movies just say, I have no service up here. You had a nickel for every time you saw people go to a cabin in the woods or somewhere, go like, oh, me neither, no service. It's the laziest cop-out ever. Yeah. This time, they just fucking stole the phones.
And then threw it in the fireplace.
Loved it. Loved it, 10 out of 10, no notes. If you give me anything above, there's no service here, which they could have just done.
I think they said that at one point. They threw everything at the wall. I think they said there was no service or something. But
you got rid of the phones.
Right.
Because you know what happens? Every time somebody says there's no service, you know at some point in the movie, they'd be like, I have one bar. And it's like, I'm sick of this. I know that movies were easier to do, horror movies were easier to do before cell phones. I understand. But you got to come up with good ways to get rid of these phones.
There should be a solar event in every horror movie that knocks out all the electronics for that day.
One I like, I've seen where like it'll be a bachelorette party that's going to be a slasher movie, and they collect all the phones because they want a weekend of free from screens. I'm like,
that's perfect. Cool.
Just do that. Just do that every time. But it also opens up the person who takes the phone becomes an immediate suspect to me.
That's true.
You got to find ways to make it interesting because we've all seen I have no service before.
I don't know.
You know who did have service, though? Those Mormons.
Oh, yeah. What phone did they use? Because they cut the lines. The Mass people cut the phone lines.
They have a service every holiday, every weekend.
I don't know. Do they?
I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
I know they have lots of wives.
Which are the... Oh, yeah. That's the Mormons. The guy who is from somewhere in New York.
Actually, I do have a question about what goes on in the Mormon church. Because these Mormon kids walk into a house, find murdered people, bloodied up, and they have no reaction to it. Like, it's just another day at the office.
They were remarkably blasé about it. There was that panicked phone call to 911 at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, that's how we know the cell phone or the phone service worked.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah, but the kid's just looking at it like, again, this reminds me of last time we were at, I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about Mormons.
They're from Utah now. The Beehive State.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Brigham Young is a person who was involved in the Mormon church. He was part two.
There was a guy named John Smith.
Yep. And, wow, I know nothing about it. And you know what? People have talked about Mormons a lot more than me, but that was a fun course down what does Pete know about Mormons. I still have a book from, how good are the library police?
The library police?
Yeah.
You don't want to fuck with them.
All right, then I'm not going to say anything on air because I may or may not, or definitely not, have in my possession a book from whatever year I was in ninth grade. Uh-huh. So 13, 14, called The History of Presbyterianism.
Wow.
And I've never taken it back. Guess what? I think I'm in the clear because I got a new library card.
Ooh.
And they didn't arrest me.
Find you. No. Everything was wiped away at one point. This has happened a couple times, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had reasons they didn't want to give me a card, too. And then people stopped going to the library. So they were like, oh.
Do they take anyone back?
They'll take everyone back.
Kind of like how the Army takes anyone now.
But here's the thing. That was in like the 2000s. And then I screwed up again. They told me I couldn't have one. But I got a new library card again. So they must have wiped it away at some point, too.
What did you do?
I don't remember what I was doing. But they did not care for me at the public library. I think in the 2000s is when they started having DVDs, so I would go take DVDs from them.
Oh, yeah, I've never used that, or that service, or that side of it.
Yeah.
I don't even use the library, because I want to buy all my books and keep them.
I haven't been to the library since.
I've been quite a bit. I take the kids, which is weird, because I just buy them whatever books they want, and Kitty yells at me. But, you know, I like books.
I have a library card so that I can sign up to a streaming app, and they put some horror movies up on.
Oh, I see.
It's the only reason I have it.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. You want the credit check?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I had. You keep bringing up all these good points to this movie that I don't like. So the only notes I took were the credit check for it. I lost my credit check. There it is.
Nobody can see this, but he spends like 5 minutes preparing beforehand to get his stuff in order. And then every time turns and goes, oh, no.
Well, things get confused. What I thought was important turned out not to be important when the podcast began. All right, so strangers, what do I got? There were, in the credit check, Gemma Ward was a person who I thought was Megan Ward.
It's probably Gemma, but go ahead.
Could be, but I thought it was Megan Ward. She was, I believe, in PCU and
yes, I remember
Joe's apartment. She was in Freaks?
Freaked.
I don't remember.
It had the guy from Bill and Ted, who's not
Alex Winter.
It had Alex Winter. And she was his girlfriend, and they're at like some sideshow thing, and they all get transformed into weird shit.
I never saw that one. I liked it. Anyway, it wasn't her, and they're not related, so that's nothing. Mm. But I saw that in the credit check. There were a lot of stunt doubles, which I always like to see.
There's only five people, so
there were. I didn't count, which is weird. When I tell you my next bit, what do you think there were more of? Electricians, set dressers, or drivers? I counted all of them. I didn't count the stunt doubles.
I would say drivers.
Yeah, you're kind of right, but there's not more of them. They're tied with the electricians.
Why the fuck would you ask me this question?
Because I thought you might get it right, and you kind of did. But do you know how many electricians and drivers there were?
I do.
How many?
Seven.
15 of each.
7 plus 7 is 15 of each.
There were 7 set dressers.
He's not going to know the difference. That's math.
I just blanked out when you started adding things to me. It was terrible. And then, no animals were harmed.
Oh, we got one. There's no animals in this movie.
That's what I thought, too, but there were no animals harmed. So if anyone wants to call in with any kind of animals that were in that movie, I'm not going to watch it again to find them. It was filmed, you know where?
Vancouver.
South Carolina.
Ooh.
That's.
I always just pick Vancouver.
I always pick my nose.
Yeah, I knew that was going.
That's what she said.
I was like, he looked up at the sky for a second, and I was like, he's got to come something better than your nose. And he just like owned it. He looked right down, stared right down the barrel and said it.
I was very proud of my choice. I was happy with it, and I had to deliver it. Anyway, so on this set, there was a chef, a head chef, an assistant head, and two second assistants, chefs. And then Liv Tyler had her own.
These people were just all cooking for Scott Speedman.
Yeah, I guess whoever else was there. And Liv Tyler had her own. That was it. Boy. She's like, I'm bringing my own chef with me.
I'm starting to see where the $9 million went.
That cooking budget's a thing. It's like Scooby and Shaggy are on set. I've been watching a lot of Scooby-Doo lately.
I watch a lot of independent horror movies, and I look at this one and I think, 3 day shooting, $15,000 max.
Yeah. I don't know where all the money went. It must have been on that
Liv Tyler catering.
Yeah, Liv Tyler or the army that's feeding Scott Speedman.
It doesn't say it on there, but she was eating leprechauns.
Why was she eating leprechauns?
They're very expensive under the black market.
Oh. I'm not finding it.
I believe George Lucas raised one once.
Oh, no. He did. Why? He did raise him, and he let him go, too.
He raised him to a point.
And then he had to let him go.
That was a short joke.
And you're giving me grief about nose?
He had to let him go because someone's Dan Quayle stepped in. That you told me.
Oh, no. Why did Dan Quayle help him get away in England?
Yeah.
Like, once he was released by George Lucas.
He got captured by someone.
Dan Quayle had to grease. He got tied up in crossing the border and customs.
I guess it actually makes sense, though, because if you catch one, you get their pot of gold. And how did George Lucas make all that money?
He clearly caught him.
Clearly caught him and got good.
Star Wars doesn't get made for nothing.
That's true.
That was leprechaun money.
He needed to catch that leprechaun so he could start making his immediate edits to change the film.
But I'm so happy that he let it go, or let him go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. One time I was roller skating with Fred when she was like 4, and it came on because we were at a roller rink.
It chapter 1 or 2?
It was 1 because she was young.
Yeah.
And that song came on, and she's like, this is my jam. And it was very cute because she was 4.
Wow. Memories. Now she just comes in, glares at you, and goes in and slams your door shut.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's our conversation.
You know, those terrible 10s.
Almost 11.
Ooh.
Oh, hey, you're invited to her birthday.
Oh, wow. I'm waiting for my invite.
All right.
That birthday is coming up in...
a couple of weeks. Oh. No, it happened. Man, where the hell were you?
That's true. I don't know.
God damn it.
That birthday was great.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
It really came together at the last minute because you would be surprised how little preparation I did.
Is that true? Like, let's just say it was 2 weeks before her birthday at the time you're telling me that.
Yeah.
Let's pretend. You've done no preparation for it?
No.
All right.
But, you know, pretending. Clearly it came together well.
I think that's why she slams her door on you. Doesn't enjoy your company as much anymore.
I don't see the correlation.
I think what happened is clear, though, because she just matured and grew up and you didn't. So she just is like, it's like having to deal with another little brother.
You know what? The 8-year-old and I are getting along pretty well these days.
That's right. That's right. You guys are on the same wavelength.
Wait, oh, no. Is he going to get old, too?
I don't know. You didn't. So I don't know that.
You know what? Speaking of that, after the eclipse, I was fueled with like eclipse power.
Oh, God. You want me to remember back 5 weeks?
Yeah, remember back, because I didn't get to talk to you before we, like after we saw it, because we were in the path of the eclipse, and I got filled with like crazy eclipse energy, and I think people said they were old or something, and Kitty was trying to make me like, she's like, you got to squat or something, so I was squatting down low. I did it. I did it just fine. And then I said I could take 20-year-old me in a fight.
Did you get back up?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, wow.
I did. They kept trying to push me over, which my balance apparently is not that great because I was like about to flip over like a turtle.
Yes, the eclipse was in April.
Mm-hmm. And I had a thing. You know how...
A Ben Grimm?
I had a Ben Grimm. That's what I call epiphanies now. Mm-hmm. I had a Ben Grimm. And it was during, because this is what I'm afraid of, instead of like along with darkness and temperature drops and planes dropping and portals to hell and things like that, I thought that werewolves during the solar eclipse for that like 4 minutes are like super werewolves. They're invulnerable to silver. They can't be killed because the moon has now overtaken the sun and the moon is dominant. So in that 4 minutes, stay away from werewolves or hope there's not one in your presence.
But they only come out at night.
But it's nighttime for that 4 minutes.
That's true.
So everyone that I was telling this to outside in the neighborhood said, are you trying to tell us you're a werewolf, Pete?
You know, that's one of the things we didn't talk about. Everyone's talking about this eclipse that happened. It was this big deal. The moon was out in the daytime. It doesn't belong here.
Right? That's what I'm saying. That's werewolf ascendancy there, man.
I don't know how that goes with werewolves. Do they just like turn midday and they're like sitting at their office going, oh, shit.
And if, that's exactly, like, I didn't bring a spare change of clothes here. Like, but no, vampires have 30 days a night. They go up there to Alaska in that town and eat everybody. Werewolves get the solar eclipse and they try to do a lot in 4 minutes.
I watched a werewolf movie called Howl that was pretty good. It was werewolves on a train, which is what it should have been called because I would have watched it much earlier. The whole time they're trying to survive the night, right? That's the whole thing. You think like, yeah, they'll survive the night. And then there'll be some people that make it, some people that don't, but that's the whole point. Survive the night. They're like, yeah, we got to survive this night. Then daytime comes. It's like the next day and the werewolves are still just walking around. I'm like, the fuck was the point of this movie? Like the nighttime's over. Did they just forget? It was a strange thing that happened at the end of that movie where I was like kind of mad at it. Like, why are these werewolves walking around in the daylight if they just spent the whole night going, we just have to make it through the night? Because it wasn't ironic. It wasn't like this reveal. It was just like, I think they just forgot.
Yep. That's all right. I think it should have been called Choo Choo, but one of the Choos is C-H-E-W, like a werewolf would do.
No, both Choos are C-H-E-W.
Choo Choo? Now it sounds like tobacco. Chewing tobacco or that bubble gum that was Big League Chew.
I remember that. Do you remember bubble tape?
6 feet. My kids still like 6 feet of bubble tape.
Wow.
They call it Hubba Bubba, though. Like, technically, that's true. It is Hubba Bubba that makes 6 feet of the tape. But I like, do you remember the Bazooka Joes with those comics? They're still there. They exist. I've bought them relatively recently.
Yes, you get the little comics, and it's like putting a rock in your mouth to chew.
Your teeth just shatter. It's still the same. I think these were...
It's still from the same batch.
That is my theory about candy corn, too.
We've been eating the same Bazooka Joe. They just made it once in 1952, and now we're just eating it. And now
they made a lot, and it doesn't sell enough. With candy corn, the garbage men are paid extra to collect it at the end of the season, and they just clean it off and put it back on the shelves.
I like candy corn.
Yeah, that's what happens with that. It was all made in 1 year in like 1952 or something.
I do like it though.
Oh, you're one of those?
Yeah.
Gross.
I like Mallow Cups.
Mallow Cups?
Yeah.
Mallow Cups are the bomb.
Most people don't like them.
What do you? That's the food of my people.
The Pete's?
Do you know how many of those delicious coconut chocolate things? You get the 2-packs?
No, I get the 4-packs, man.
The 4-pack?
Oh, yeah. Things are going pretty well for me.
Do you keep the coins?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many dollars have you gotten?
Maybe I don't.
Okay.
I have them somewhere. I don't have them like together, but I don't throw anything away.
If you've never eaten a Mallow Cup, like, I'm sorry, first off. And second off, they come with coins, like different denomination coins, and like just on printed on the cardboard, like peanut butter cup sleeve. I'm assuming you know what a peanut butter cup is and not a Mallow Cup, so that's a lot of assumptions I'm taking.
Yeah.
But you save up the coins. And you get stuff like you get
there's like Bazooka Joe comics.
Yeah. But there's like now it's an online store. But back in the day, they would send you like a little gift certificate for like $2 or $1 or whatever you collected. Back in my dad's day, again, the food of my people, they would send you like actual Mallow Cups. And I guess he wore the mailman out because the mailman was just like bringing crates of Mallow Cups. So he might be responsible for why they changed to just giving you $1 after you collect a certain amount.
I like those. I like the more basic candy can be, the more I like it.
Yeah, you really don't like anything on anything.
It's true.
I was just talking about that to somebody. I was discussing your dietary habits. I was like, I know a fella.
It happened again the other day. I went to Rachel's to get some Mediterranean salad and rice stuff. And I get my bowl with just white rice and chicken. And he's like, okay, what else do you like? And I'm like, that's it. And he looked at me. He's like, that's it? And I'm like, what do you want from me? And then this is the funniest part.
Though. That's crazy people food.
Oh, it gets better. There was a person waiting in line behind me. And he goes, is that for a kid? He just fucking said it out loud.
when I go into, like, say, Subway, because my kids want to eat Subway, and I have to order a sub with just tomatoes on it and nothing else, I'm like, just tomatoes. Or, like, just lettuce and mayonnaise, just slather on that mayonnaise. I always say, well, kids, what are you going to do?
Oh, I've done that before, too. But this time I was, like, getting called out for it, and I'm like, you can't just eat chicken and rice?
No, that's...
I'm going to be going to Bella's Sub Shop after this, and I'm going to get just like ham and cheese on a sub. And then if someone does say something, I will pretend it was for a child. It is for a 44-year-old man.
My mouth is dried out thinking of eating a ham and cheese sub with nothing else.
Mouth drying. That should be a slogan.
Yeah, I don't know for what, for Brian's ham and cheese.
The only sub I ever get that I put anything on is if I get chicken Philly. Ooh. I'll put peppers in there. That's it. I'm not putting mayonnaise or oil on shit. I don't want your lettuce and tomatoes. You can put cheese.
You allowed one vegetable.
You get, put the hot peppers on there, melt some cheese on it, done. And if I get, like, I'll put mustard on a jerky club. That is it.
Why mustard?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I like all condiments pretty much equally. It just depends on what kind of mood you're in.
Those are the ones I like. I'd like some, put some actual pepper on there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, bacon, cheese, turkey.
There was a time.
It's as extravagant as I get.
There was a time back when Subway would cut their subs, like they'd cut out, yes, a triangle in the top of it, yeah, and like pull out that triangle and fill the innards, where I would, much like, you know, getting a fountain drink and putting a little bit of everything into it, I would do that with Subway. I'd be like, put everything on it. And they would just try to shove everything. I'd have like cucumbers and lettuce and every olive and pepper there. It was just like you couldn't close it on the sandwich.
When I worked at a pizza place a long time ago, there was a bartender next door who I just could not stand. It's a giant guy. And he was like, it's like, I want a calzone. I want everything in it. And I was like, no problem. And I was like, it's hard to put a lot in a calzone.
Because, oh, no. I found out. Because I heard somebody.
It's hard to close it. But I was good at it. So I put every motherfucking thing I could find in there. I was like, there's no way this is going to be good. And then I cooked the shit out of it, like, well. And then I even put it in the deep fryer just to be like, keep it together. I was like, there's no way this is good. It's like, there's anchovies. There's every fucking thing we had. Dandelion. Everything we had in there was in that thing. Fucking went over there after work. And he's like, that's the best calzone I ever had. I was like, God damn it.
I'm not going to lie. The problem I've had, because I've done that, I think it was the deep frying that saved you.
Yeah.
When I've ordered calzones and I like put a lot of stuff in it, it's just this soggy mess that never cooked.
That was the thing. It was very hard to cook it correctly. So I just dipped it for a second to...
See, that was the key. Otherwise, so I've learned you can only put so many things in the calzone.
That's true. Well, no. Apparently you can put everything you want.
As long as you deep fry.
Do you know that when I worked there for many, many years, I had the dumbest call I ever had. Was someone called and said, what kind of calzones do you have? It's not a stupid question. It's when I give the answer and they ask another question. And I say, anything you can put on a pizza, you can put in a calzone, any of the toppings we have. And then there was a pause after I answered literally anything. And they said, okay, what other kinds? Pete, this happened twice. Years apart. What? I said, literally anything you can think of, I can put in a calzone. And they said, what other kinds?
What other kinds? I don't know what that means.
The worst part was I was going through the thing. I was like, if you want to put steak in there, I can put steak. You want to put chicken, you want to put pepperoni, you want to put
mushrooms. So you listed onions. Individual ingredients.
I said, anything you can find on the menu, anything on our menu, any word you see that's food, I can put it in that calzone. And they paused and said, what other kinds?
You could put french fries?
They asked a question with no answer.
To put a taco in there?
It was like I was being tested by that, you know, one of these doors is a liar and one of these doors is telling the truth.
I never figured out that riddle. I used to know it at one point.
Go through the window.
There's a window.
They didn't say there wasn't.
I always thought you had to like kick one of them in the nards.
Yeah.
And then like push them in and see what happens. Like push them through the door.
I'm sure that given all of eternity, I could figure out how to get in there.
Mm.
You know who wants all of eternity? Skeletor.
That's Eternia.
Fair enough.
And there's something called Eternium. Think I don't know my Skeletor. I know what Skeletor wants.
Is Eternium what they're looking for in Avatar 2?
It very well could be. Because it's a water planet now, you see. Is that the same planet, do you think?
Who cares?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah. That stupid guy. What's his name?
James Cameron.
Yeah. I don't like him.
I used to.
Yeah, he did Terminator.
He did Terminator, did Aliens, he did Terminator 2.
Okay, I had nothing. I froze there.
He did True Lies.
I feel like we had this conversation.
We did it even ago.
I feel like we've had this conversation, so we must have had this conversation before.
That's true. But Terminator was great.
Oh, by the way, Future Pete has struck again with the I sent you a picture. Yeah. Future Pete, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast yet, but Future Pete is somebody who takes any idea Brian and I talk to or talk about and then releases it. Because he and I, Brian and I, never ever get anything done. We'll have ideas and we'll talk about them. And then we'll see that thing pop up and appear. I think it's Future Pete because at some point I'm going to figure out time travel. And he released Mini Kite, which is a kite you tie to your finger.
So it is deeper than that because that's a stupid idea. And that's the point. We over decades, I'll come up with ideas for a movie or something, TV show. And then Pete's like, oh, that's a really good idea. And then I will do nothing with it. And within 2 years, that fucking movie will come out. And I'm pretty sure we invented found footage just to go back in time. I know we made zombies come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things are all predating anything hitting. We basically should be millionaires, but we're so lazy we can't be. But
Future Pete is.
Future Pete is. So this comes from a script idea I had, because God knows I didn't write it, where part of the story was a bad inventor inventing some of the dumbest things you could think of. One of them was Mini Kite, a little kite you tie to your finger, a useless bauble that you could probably find on a rack at Toys R Us. It was just the dumbest thing I could think of. He sends me a picture in the stores. Fucking Mini Kites are real now.
Yeah, they're real. So that's, and in your response, you said in the text, is that how I informed you of this devastating news? He's gone too far. I thought of it. I know what to do to Future Pete. I know how to get him and stop him from all of them.
Ooh.
As soon as I make a Mini Kite, I'm going to kill myself. That'll fucking get him. He won't be able to enjoy all his evil stuff. The minute I sit there and make one, I'm like, ha-ha.
This got dark.
That's the only way I can think to beat him.
I just find it funny because that's not the first toy I came up with that became a real toy.
What was the other one?
A lone ball.
Oh, a lone ball is a terrifying concept and it's real.
The main toy they were going to come up with was a thing called a lone ball because they're bad at naming things.
And I think it's a good name.
It's a companion. It's just a ball.
Right.
But it's a companion for a child who has no friends and the ball will talk to him. But it talks to him in the creepiest way possible. And then later, someone figures out to salvage their project that if you program it in with really intelligent things, you can have something called Learn Ball because they're still bad at naming things. And the thing will teach them the ABCs, numbers, things like that, things that make sense. Well, that exists, but it didn't exist when I made it up. I promise you, this was so long ago. It did not exist when I made it up. But I walked downstairs one day, and Pete's like, look at this. And his kids had one. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Learn Ball's real now? So Learn Ball and Mini Kite. We're waiting for Wiffle Chair. The chair that's easy to carry for a kid, but it's made of like a wiffle ball bat, so when they sit in it, it just collapses around them. And sand wings that'll help them get stronger at swimming by putting sand in their water wings. Yeah. We get those two, we'll have the whole quartet.
I don't know. We should put bets. Well, you know what? We're not going to get either of them. I win. I'm victorious, clearly. That's how time travel works, right?
Like, I thought Learn Ball was the thing that made the idea dumb was the name. That was the point, was that it's supposed to be the actual good idea they ended up having. So when that existed, I was like, that's fine. Fucking Mini Kite?
I will say, Learn Ball itself at night, which I always called a lone ball. That's just what it was.
That's what it was.
The kids still call it a lone ball.
Yeah.
But one night, in the middle of the night, I don't know, I was just sleeping in on the couch in the living room. And all of a sudden I heard,
yeah, exactly.
Do you want to play?
Well, the end of the movie
play a game with me.
The end of the movie was the bad guy advertiser would have the ball in his room and he'd be pissed off because the guy he hated, you know, won the day and he'd throw it aside. It's like stupid ball. And then the night you'd see it start glowing up and go, Father?
Yes. That's how it ended. Yeah, that's funny. This was terrifying when it's in the middle of the night and this thing laughs from a box of toys like it could have been a gremlin or something in there, but then it's like, do you want to play? I'm like, no.
It's been over 2 decades. I still find it funny, to be honest with you.
It's a solid comedy joke.
Do you remember where that idea for that story came from?
No.
It was, I had a dream.
Who are you talking to?
I had a dream about a toy. It was a bird. It's like a stuffed animal bird. But you could push a button and it could just slightly gravitate over the, like for a second.
A little hover.
Use its wings to hover up. which I don't know if that exists either, so we'll see.
Probably with magnets.
Probably, but like that was where it came from. But that, and then I woke up, and the first line in my head was, I'm not an idea man, I'm in advertising. And I was like, what if we could build a whole thing around that? And then we never did.
Nope. But
still, the products are out there.
Yep. Not anymore.
Future Pete's been doing this for so long that when we met in 1994. In 1996, we were in high school still, and we had to do a thing for health class. And we did a video project for health class, like I'll make a commercial. And we made a commercial for fetal alcohol syndrome, which was you pouring a beer bottle. It's just a hand pouring a beer bottle as we recited facts about fetal alcohol syndrome. And then it pans down and you find out, you see that it's been being put into a baby bottle and then the cap on the baby bottle. And that was the whole ad. And then like,
and it was with like whatever you drink, the baby, you know, is drinking.
Yeah, you have a choice. They don't, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever we said,
but it was a great, genius. Great idea for Ned, apparently, because 6 months later, Pete's watching, you know, the local programming before it goes off the air at 3:30 in the morning. And guess what the fuck PSA he sees?
New York State.
The same goddamn commercial we created.
It was pretty, I was like, I remember that.
I think it was the first time where Future Pete got us.
You know, I always thought it was our health teacher saying, look at this, I'm going to sell it to the state for a public service announcement.
It's very possible, but they would not have made the most money if they'd have stolen something of mine. Economics class, senior year, we had, you know, invest a fake $100,000 into stocks. And everyone's diversifying their portfolios, and they're like, oh, I'm buying this, and you have to write why. And I bought stocks in a little company that had just declared bankruptcy for $1.50. All of it. I spent every penny of it on that. And he gave me a C- because it didn't move at the end of the year. And I was like, the stock market's down about 8 months. Let's see what happens to it in the future. That stock was Marvel Comics. It closed at 49.5 within 10 years or 12 years.
Did I have to do that project?
No, that was AP economics. Okay. And economics is too much math for you.
Anything is too much math for me.
So just go back in time. And if Mr. LeFou, fuck you, if Mr. LeFou... Hey, fuck him. If he'd have listened to me and invested all of his money in that, he'd be a multimillionaire by now.
But he was a high school teacher to begin with, so. But
instead, he's giving me a C- when I'm cracking the code and becoming a billionaire.
I forgot what I was going to say. Surprise.
Nice. I forgot what movie we were talking about for a long time there.
What movie are we talking about?
We're talking about James in Toyland.
James in Toyland. Oh, that's the movie that we were just talking about.
That's right.
Cool. Now,
look at that. I stole it back.
From who?
From Future Pete. Now it's out there.
Future Pete's dead now. What do we care?
Well, he was a bastard.
He was. Son of a bitch. He's been my nemesis for years.
You know why he's your nemesis, though.
No, why?
Because the amount of times you do something and say that's a problem for Future Pete.
Yeah, what's your point?
Those are the two things.
Those are Future Pete problems. Anything I don't feel like doing, well, that's a Future Pete problem.
I'm just saying he's a little justified. I just don't know why he's taking my shit.
Well, you know who the real asshole is.
Kevin Spacey?
Past Pete. That guy is always leaving shit. He never does anything. And I always got to deal with this nonsense from him.
Yep. I wish Future Pete stole your shit, not my shit.
Well, he knows where the ideas come from.
I guess so.
What is he getting from me? Nick Cage? Oh, hey, wasn't there a Nick Cage fact where there's somebody already doing my Nick Cage facts but charging money?
Yeah.
Is that Future Pete too?
It probably is.
Motherfucker.
It probably is. He did steal from you finally.
I am so angry right now.
This goes so deep that like in 1999, I'll never forget where we were driving when I was explaining to you the Blair Witch Project, which had not come out yet. And I was like, have you seen this? It's pretty amazing. They're like, it's like point of view. It's like they're walking around filming it themselves. And this didn't really exist. I mean, there had been a found footage movie before Cannibal Holocaust, but this is not the same thing where I was like, I can't ever see anything like it. It's going to be amazing. And there's a long pause and you go, wasn't that the thing you wrote?
That's right.
And I'd forgotten that I had done that, I had once written an outline in some scenes, but I never finished it, for a serial killer, a slasher movie that was done, found footage, point of view of the killers. Because the point was, like, they could be killing someone in their room, and somebody could, you'd see through the door crack in the house, somebody walk by to go to the bathroom, and you'd be, like, afraid. Like, oh, shit, because that's, like, a jump scare. But you'd be like, why am I on their side? And that's the whole point of it, changing the point of view. I'd forgotten that I'd come up with that, like, 4 years before that.
Yep.
Now, these motherfuckers take like 3 cameras in the woods, spend very little money, and then they become 100 millionaires.
Did they?
Yes. Good. We couldn't have gone to the woods?
No. I didn't care for that movie, even when it came out.
Well, the joke's on them, because we have, by every metric, the least successful podcast of all time. So, where are they now? I don't know.
What are you talking about? This is a very incisive look at the
Without looking at your notes, tell me what movie we're talking about.
The Strangers. And you know what I thought The Strangers was about?
It was about 11.
No. I thought it was, because I literally knew nothing going into this. I think I had vague ideas that it was home invasion, but I also kind of thought it was that thing where you lean on your arm until it goes numb, and then you masturbate with it because you don't feel it because your hand's asleep. I thought it might have been one of those types of movies. It wasn't. I figured that out after a little bit.
One of those types of movies is what you're going with. From that genre.
What? That's not an acceptable form of title?
The only movie I can remember that has anything that deals with that was the movie Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Do you remember that movie?
I do.
Where Jason Mewes had a thing where he's like, no, I'll grab my dick and you just move my arm like a windmill.
I don't remember that.
That was the closest I can get to it.
What about that X?
We're going to use up all the good dick material before Ken gets on next week. And I can't imagine having an episode without Ken talking about dicks.
No, we better not, because we'll get some kind of FCC violation or something.
If there's two things I know about Ken, number one, he's going to talk about that earthquake.
We haven't seen Ken in so long.
And number two, he's going to bring up dicks. Like, he's probably going to tell us what his dick was doing during the earthquake.
I assume bouncing.
I've never been bouncing around. I was in an earthquake one time, but I was only 3 months old, and I was in the place of my birth. Do you know where I was born, Pete, out of curiosity?
Yeah, some island somewhere. That's Vesuvius, nope. Pompeii.
You're actually closer now than you were the first time.
Not Krakatoa. That's where the Galapagos
Islands.
Yeah.
No.
With Darwin.
I was born in the Azores. And I've not been back since 6 months old. I was born at a naval base,
technically. Azor.
I actually wasn't born on the base, but I thought I was for years, and it turns out I wasn't. And that means I should be part Portuguese.
You were born in Eagleton?
But the U.S. won't acknowledge it, because then you have to join the military over there. And they're like, so I'm just straight up U.S. now. And I'm like, it seems like the paperwork isn't great on the whole situation.
Where were we?
We were talking about The Strangers.
No. This is The Strangers.
You were talking about ways to make your hand numb, arm numb.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's what I thought about The Strangers. That's what I thought it was.
It's like that sex act where you cut your arm off, but then you can hold it with the other arm.
Do you think Frankenstein always gave himself a stranger?
Well, he could, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, they weren't even his arms to begin
with. That's what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now you're really loving Bride of Frankenstein because you got more to think about.
I got to rewatch that movie. I really enjoyed it after the fact.
You missed those parts where he was just in the background whacking away.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's quality material.
All right, you got anything else?
No, I still don't like The Strangers.
No, I didn't love it either. It's fine.
It's got fun stuff going on in it, I guess, but I don't like people getting hurt.
Everything
just being dead at the end.
Everything it does either works perfectly fine or is just a batshit insane idea. Like,
those are the parts I like.
Like having them be coming off of a conversation where one person proposed and the other one said no. It's complete madness. Now, am I getting this right? They were at a wedding when he proposed?
I think it was somebody else's wedding, and they didn't do it like in front of everybody, but I thought that was like one of those.
I think that's what happened too. Yes. Pete, did you know that I proposed to somebody at a wedding once?
What?
And they said, ask me tomorrow, not at this wedding, not when you're drunk, and then I never asked again. Woke up and said, take those words out of your vocabulary.
Did you know I never proposed to Kitty?
Wow.
Did you know that I came home one day?
And she just was like, we're getting married now?
No, we just kind of assumed that we were going to, but we had taught, you know. One day, Ken Burns, our foreign reporter, was living with us at the time.
Ooh, domestic reporter Ken Burns.
Domestic reporter was Ken Burns.
Domestic
was,
correspondent.
He was.
Literally, because he's living with a domestic couple.
I got you. I followed you. Okay. Anyway, he was downstairs, right? I think we were smoking cigarettes because we were cool and young back then.
Were you watching Captain Kangaroo by any chance?
But he was skateboarding around the parking lot. And then Kitty pulls up and she's like, hey, Pete, we need to talk. And then it's like, uh-oh. And Ken gets all like, uh-oh. Like, so he kind of like just skateboards away, like softly and quietly, doesn't want to intrude. And Kitty's like, hey, I know we talked about it, and I know, you know, I said it wasn't a big deal, and it's a waste of money, and it's terrible. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'd really like a ring. And I'm like, a wedding ring? I'm not in trouble? Yeah, sure. Whatever you want. She's like, I found one for $75. It's on some sale, so let's go get it. So we go there. She's like, here's the ring I found, like, the next day. It's at the mall, because those were still around. And you can see it in the little window display. And she's like, here it is, $75. And then we go in, and she starts talking to the lady. And the lady's like, well, the rings are arranged by price. And I see them just keep moving down, farther down the thing. I'm like, oh, no. But I think Kitty paid for it, so I don't know what it cost her. True story.
I was over talking to my friend Tom not that long ago, and I remember telling him that story about proposing that one time. And he said, what would you have done? She said, yes. I said, Tom, I'd be married right now. Like, I don't like conflict. Like, it's been 25 years. I would be celebrating our wood anniversary right now.
Dodge that bullet.
There's no other way to look at it. I would have been married. There's no second way to look at that. There's zero chance out of it. I was in that relationship for years before that. Like, I just would have been married.
Yep. Oh, that's fantastic. Yep. All right. So that was the Strangers.
That was the Strangers. Now, you think their one night was awkward with the proposal that was turned down? Imagine mine being accepted.
You would have been praying for those people in the animal masks to show up.
Yes.
If they show up, you'd be like, thank God. Yep. Just thank God.
Hey, who knew? This was a romance the whole time. Strangers. It really brought out all these romantic feelings, talking about the time that you got engaged without getting engaged.
And,
I didn't get
in trouble.
The time that I drunkenly tried to, and thank God didn't.
Didn't I say this was a romantic comedy / horror movie to start?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was right.
Go out, support your local mini kites.
Valentine's Day movie, The Strangers.
The one good thing is if we ever make that movie, at least half the products exist now, so we don't have to actually do any kind of work to make
it. Thank God. Yeah. Although, how hard can it be to fill up some water wings with sand and throw a kid in the pool?
Well, some of those things are real easy to do.
You've got a pool, don't you? I got kids.
I remember one of their lines from that script I never wrote where... it's about a guy who's got a job for life. He won a contest, so he just gets to work there forever. And the other guy who's in advertising is tasked with having to come up with a big toy for Christmas for that year for the company because he knows he'll fail because he's not a creative type. And he goes to this guy. He finds out because he fired all the toy makers. He finds out that this guy's still on the payroll because he can't fire him. So he goes there and finds he has all these horrible ideas, all these horrible toys. And one of them is just like this, just imagine like a freaky looking, scary looking stuffed animal or something. And the guy will tell him, like, oh, we couldn't put these into production because they were scaring the kids in testing. And it's like, we never tested these, and just slowly put them away. We should have made that movie.
Well, maybe. Nope, we won't. Future Pete's dead.
Remember, too, we wanted to go to the playground and just film giving these terrible toys to kids. And
then I don't remember that.
And be like, this is where Mini Kite comes from. That's Mini Kite. And the kid will put it on his finger like, this toy fucking sucks.
I don't remember.
Now it exists.
Yep.
Future Pete will take anything. Does this mean that we're officially out of ideas? He's gone back to the well and taken the worst one, and then he killed himself? That's why he killed himself.
I don't know. That was me. I did it. I succeeded.
Oh, you don't succeed at things, though.
Oh, no. I never do. Well, you know what? That's a Future Pete problem.
It is a Future Pete problem. If one day it won't be.
Well, it still will be. What? It's always going to be his problem.
All right. They're going to wrap it up. Go to... Oh, I didn't introduce the show or us. I'm sure I will next week. There's no way I'll forget 2 weeks in a row.
No.
I'm Brian. That's Pete. This is a Scary Value Podcast. Join us next week for Alien with foreign correspondent Ken to tell us all about that earthquake. And I hope you've enjoyed our recent episodes, such as The Mummy Watch Along and Lisa Frankenstein, two things we've definitely already recorded.
I don't remember those. Did I like them?
You love The Mummy.
I do love The Mummy.
You do. And I don't recall which. You probably didn't like Lisa Frankenstein. You probably liked that enough.
Yeah. I wonder how I will remember.
I can't wait to find out what I already must know. See you later.